pray the Lord be with all of us tonight. I cannot tell you honestly how thankful I am for Brother Kevin asking me to come. And I'm so thankful that my wife Hannah has been able to come with me. And we are so, I want to convey to you, I want to get out of preacher mode for just a minute. I want to convey to you just how honored and privileged we are to be here. All of the saints in Kingsport say hello. I was thinking about this earlier. Paul, in the writing of the scripture, he'd always say, the brethren salute thee. You know, the brethren greet thee. And they do. They said, be sure and please tell our brethren, our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we say hello. So they say hello. And I'm just so humbled. We love you two so much. We just do. We're so thankful that he is your pastor and she is your pastor's wife. And us being young men and desiring greatly for the Lord to continue the gospel and continue the ministry, I just pray he'll be with us, all of us, our congregations, our ministries. May our Lord be glorified, and may we be strengthened and encouraged by each other. I pray that'll be the case for many years to come. So thank you so much for having us. If you'd like to turn with me, we will be in Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And I pray that the Lord will truly make this a blessing to us. I pray that he will allow the simplicity of his own word to be a true blessing to us. Let's read verse 1 together. Psalm 107, verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. What a beautiful verse that is. So, so beautiful. Every word in that verse is glorious. I don't ever want to put one word of Scripture above another word of Scripture. Every word in the Scripture is glorious. Isn't that what God's people cling to and love? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, one is not more glorious than another one. But I want to point out to you one that really struck me in this verse, okay? It's the word for, F-O-R. And I'll show you why. Look here at verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. What should we do? We should give thanks unto the Lord. We do give thanks unto the Lord. We get to give thanks unto the Lord. See if this strikes you at all. We are counted among the ones who are allowed to give thanks unto the Lord. Everybody doesn't get to do that. They think they're doing that, but they're not. Not in heart, not unto the Lord. They have this little idol named Jesus they've made up in their mind. And I'm talking about the Lord God Almighty. We are counted among the ones, by His grace, who get to give thanks unto the Lord. We should give thanks unto the Lord. We get to give thanks unto the Lord. We do give thanks unto the Lord. The Lord. We give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Verse 1 says, for he is good. That's the reason why. That's why we give thanks to the Lord. It's because he is good.
He's good.
Now, this is our question for the evening. And I sincerely pray that the Lord will do for you what He has done for me with this verse and with this thought. Okay? Here's our question for the evening. Why is the Lord good? The Lord is good. And we give Him thanks because He's good. But the question is, this is what I want us to just enter into for a minute and just get a hold of for a minute. Why is the Lord good? The word for, F-O-R, is in here twice. Both times when you look up the word, it means because. That's what the word for means. Why is the Lord good? It's because His mercy endureth forever. That's the reason why. Does that strike you like it strikes me? Here is the glorious truth that we're going to consider. Here's the outline for the message, okay? Number one, what? Oh, give thanks. To who? Unto the Lord. Why? For He is good. Now, why is He good? That's what I've titled the message. Why is He good? It's because for His mercy endureth forever. That just blesses my soul. The thought of that absolutely blesses my soul. That's the reason why He is good. It's because His mercy endureth forever. Verse 1 says, oh, give thanks. Worship involves a few different things, but mainly it involves giving thanks. We're here to give thanks. We're not here to do anything to earn salvation. We're here to give thanks for salvation. And I think about this all the time. I was just thinking about it while I was sitting in that chair. I pray the Lord will let me worship Him tonight. You say, well, you're the preacher. I know. But I pray the Lord will let me be one of the worshipers tonight. I pray I won't go through the motions. We're all in these tired, sinful bodies, and we're so prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. We're just so weak. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is so weak. And I was begging the Lord, please let me be a worshiper too. Let me enter into worship too. Let my heart with absolute joy give thanks to You, really, for what You've done for me. Really. Worship involves many things, but mainly giving thanks. Giving thanks. We gather together. Why are we here? We know the doctrines of grace. We know the this. We know the that. You already know, unless you kick me out of here, you already know what I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So why do we come? We present ourselves together before the Lord to worship Him and to give Him thanks and to praise Him and honor Him. This is what glory is going to be. All of His people are going to be gathered around His throne, sitting at His feet. And I don't know how it's possible for a number that no man can number to all of them be sitting at His feet. But He has that handled. And we're going to be worshiping Him. We're going to praise Him. We're going to give Him thanks. We give thanks to Him because that is all we have to give. That's all we have to give to Him. That's all that we can give to Him. I'm sure you've heard, everybody's heard the saying that religion loves to say, give your heart to Jesus. And once you give your heart to Jesus, I can't give my heart to Him. I cannot give my heart to him. The scripture says that in my flesh, this is a dead heart. Scripture says that this is a cold and stony heart. The scripture says that I'm dead. A dead man can't do anything. A dead man cannot give anything. The scripture says that our Lord had to take our dead, cold, stony hearts out of us so that he could put in his heart of life, flesh. I didn't give it. Our Lord had to take it. He took it. The scripture says, give unto him the glory due unto his name. Isn't that what the scripture says? Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. I can't do that. Not in my flesh. I have never given unto the Lord the glory that is due unto his name. Never. Because it's the only thing that has ever been solely produced by me, I would think, I would say that I could give him my sin. I didn't even do that. He had to willingly take it from me. Isn't that amazing? That he would willingly, when you think about God, who God is, that he would willingly take to himself all of the wicked sin of his people and lay it on himself of his own will, of his own purpose, of his own desire. He had to willingly take that from me too. I didn't give it to him. He laid it on himself. So the fact of the matter is, he's the one who does all the giving. He does all the giving. He gave his life. He gave his body. He gave his blood. Thank God he gave his righteousness. You know, Paul in Romans 10, he said, I want so desperately for my kinsmen to be saved. He said, they have a zeal of God. They do. They do. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. They're going about trying to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, who is Jesus Christ. Christ is the end of law, of the law for righteousness. He gave every good deed that I will ever need to stand before God with. Every good deed that I will ever need for God to look at me and say, well done. He gave every bit of it to me. He gave his holiness. He gave his purity. He gave his inheritance. You know, we don't even do that down here on this earth. We get a couple of pennies come the end and, you know, that's all mine. This is what I get. This is my part. Our Lord gave all the spiritual blessings of heaven. All of his inheritance. Our Lord gave his place. He left his place. He left his place so he could put us there. In his place. He gave himself. And when he gave himself, he gave his all. He gave it all. So he did all the giving. Even the thanks that is in our mouth. Even the thanks that is in our heart. Even that thanks, he put it there. Isn't that wonderful? He had to put it there so that I could give it back to him. He put it there so we could give it back to him. It is God which works in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. Our Lord said, Father, I give thee thanks. Father, I thank thee. Oh, Heavenly Father. My spirit in my people. I love the book of Galatians. It talks about the Spirit of our Lord being in us, in his people, crying out for us, Abba, Father. Because he did that for us and does that for us, that's what we do. Because he is in his people, because he's in us, creating that in us, that's what we do. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. Thank you, Lord. We give Him thanks for everything that He's given to us, and we give Him thanks for everything that He has given for us. He gave His all to put away our sin. And we give thanks for that. You know, the Lord opens our eyes. He reveals these things. We get a hold of some of these things. And we rejoice in the fact that our sin has been put away. But I'm telling you, on the day of judgment, as we watch God's judgment coming down on sin, can you imagine how thankful, what an understatement, but how thankful we're going to be for the blood that put away our sin. Oh, all through the judgment we'll be crying, thank you. Thank you. Everything He endured, outside of Him, a man or a woman must endure. He endured it for us. So verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. The one who has done this for us and the one who all of our thanks goes to and belongs to is the Lord. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? This is a good question. I have met quite a few people who don't know the answer to this question. We take it for granted. If the Lord has revealed the answer to us, we take it so for granted. Who is the Lord? The name Lord means, when you look it up in the Bible dictionary, it means the sovereign. That's what the name Lord means. Sovereign. It means the God. The God who actually is God. It means, Lord means the one who controls all things and reigns over all things. Don't you love that? Every time I read Romans 8:28, often, and it just goes right by me. But every time the Lord lets me get a hold of it, it's a brand new revelation to me. It's like, oh, I forgot. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The one who is controlling all things and doing all things and reigning over all things. The one who has all power, all might, all strength, all ability. The one who is able to do whatever He wants to do with whoever He wants to do it. He is the one that we're giving thanks to. He's the one that we're giving thanks to. And who is that exactly? When we say that we're giving thanks to Him, who are we referring to exactly? His name is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who this Lord is. The sovereign, almighty, everlasting Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 17, it says, now unto the King eternal. Who is the King? Jesus Christ. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm looking forward to saying that with the great congregation. That's who we're talking about, though. Our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, our King. Look with me at Jude. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude. but I can't help but say Jude chapter 1. Jude 1, verse 25. Jude 1, 25. It says, "To the only wise God, our Savior." Who is our Savior? Jesus Christ. The King of kings and Lord of lords is our Savior. "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." So that's who we're giving thanks to. That's who we are very happily giving thanks to. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our King, our Lord. All right, go back with me to Psalm 107. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Why? "For He is good." Sometimes being a preacher of the gospel, the true gospel, I feel like back in the old days, the paper boys who used to stand on the street corners holler and read all about it. Great news. Wonderful news. There's wonderful news right here. This all-powerful, all-controlling God over heaven and earth is good. He's good. I've mentioned this a few times. I just mentioned this up in Rescue. I'll mention it again. We have an adversary. Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't have an adversary. Our adversary is His pawn. A created being doing whatever He allows him to do. But we have an adversary who is more powerful than us. And he's bad. And everything that he does according to his own free will that he thinks he has, all things work together for evil. Does it ever strike us how thankful we ought to be that the one who actually is all-powerful and the one who is the highest, who can never be dethroned, is good? Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful news. The Almighty that everything must bow to is good. He is good. Look at verse 2. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Do we want to know the goodness of the Lord? Enter into this. He redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. He redeemed us. That means He paid the price in full. Redeemed. You're welcome to take it with you. Paid in full. He redeemed us from all of our sin. And what did that redemption cost us? Cost Him? His own blood. It cost Him His own blood. His life, His death, His blood. Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west," over in Tennessee and California, "from the north and the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. All of them said, 'We're pilgrims and strangers. This is not our home. We're passing through.' May God give us strength to just keep going." Verse 5, "Hungry and thirsty for Christ," for the gospel. "Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way Who is that? Jesus Christ. That they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. And that's where all of us were before the Lord shined the light of Christ. Broke the bars, which he goes on to say. Verse 11, they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Isn't that what happened to us when the Lord broke us? Couldn't help ourselves. Nobody else could help us. One man only. Verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And that's what the psalm goes on to say. Verse 21, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works. I've always loved verse 20. This is an outline for a message. He sent them His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Just by the power of the word of God Almighty. That centurion said, Lord, just speak the word. You want me to come to your house? I'll come to your house and heal your servant. I'm not worthy. Just speak the word. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He is good to every one of His sinful people that were given to Him to redeem. Now, why is He good? Why is this Almighty, Sovereign God so good to His people? One more time, look at verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. That's why He is so good. That's why He will never stop being good to His people. It's because His mercy endures forever. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not, and that's why you sons of Jacob are not concerned. It's because His mercy endures forever. It is brand new every single morning. Brand new every single morning. Great is His faithfulness. I don't feel like I'm faithful in anything. You know what does my heart good? Great is His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. Every single morning, the blood, the mercy that comes from the blood He shed, it covers everything over brand new every morning. You know, our Lord, I had an illustration right here, and I erased it today because I ended up telling it to Rescue, and I thought, I'm not going to tell the same illustration everywhere, but I'm going to tell it to you too. I was about to tell you this, but this illustration is just more appropriate. Really, it's a story. There's a dear brother in Kingsport who the Lord has allowed us to have a little TV program. And he saw our program, and he started watching it. And one Sunday night, I pulled up to the church, and he was already sitting there, and he got out of his car and was looking in my window to see if that was me. And so I got out, and he just had the biggest smile on his face, and he stuck his hand out, and he said, you don't know me, but he said, seeing you is like seeing an old friend. He said, I got some questions, and he said, I think you can answer them. He's been with us now for 4 years, And for the past 4 years, this has been his biggest thing. He is a sinner, and he knows it. That's his biggest problem. He's about 70 years old. Dear, dear brother. But he's always wanting to make sure. Now you're telling me, and I'll show him in the Word. And it's every time he sees it, he said, okay, there it is. Which is all I can do. Yep, that's what it says. Okay. Don't always understand it, but I believe it. But he just deeply, I spent so much time talking with him and loved every minute of it. Because he has had a life of sin. And so he got religion. And he's hoping religion, he was hoping religion was going to take care of all that sin. But here was his problem. He's still a sinner. And he can't stop sinning. And one Sunday morning, he came in and he was just torn all to pieces. He was worried about his past sins, worried about the sins he's committing right now, and he did not trust himself one bit to stop sinning for the future. And so I told him, I said, Danny, cry out to the Lord for mercy. The Lord shed his blood to cover our sin from the cradle to the grave. He covered the sin. That brand new every morning is he paid for the sins I have yet to even think about committing. Cry out for mercy. Mercy in the blood. And so he said, okay, mercy. Mercy. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cry out for mercy in the blood. That was right before our first, we have a Bible study. So I gave the Bible study. 30 minutes later, he grabbed me right after that between our Bible study and morning message, and he pulled me in my office and looked me right in the eye, and he, with the most pitiful look on his face, he said, how much mercy does the Lord have for me? And I said, Danny, it's infinite. It will never run out. It's so much. Where your sin has abounded, his gift, the grace of the mercy in the blood of Jesus Christ so far covers all your sin. It starts over. Because he's like, I didn't even dream sin. Sin in my dreams. I said, it starts over, brand new. As soon as you wake up, brand spanking new mercy. And he grabbed my hand, and it, right there in my office, there were people in the building, he just started laughing so loud. He was just belly laughing. And he said, that's the greatest news I've ever heard in my life. And it is. It is mercy.
Thank you.
In the blood of the Lamb that God sacrificed to put away the sin of His people.
Thank you.
Greatest news that could ever be told. Every morning it starts over brand spanking new. Every morning. The song says, dark the stain that soiled man's nature. Long the distance that he fell. Far removed from hope and heaven into deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain opened. And the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for full salvation. Not a down payment on salvation. Full salvation. God still reigns upon His throne. And I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. That's His mercy to us. That's His covenant. That's His promise. Why is the Lord good? Because He promised He would be. And He won't go back on His word. He made a covenant in the blood. He made a covenant to cover our sin in His own blood. And because it was the blood of the Almighty God Himself that paid our debt, He paid it so powerfully and so completely, there is no possible way that that debt can ever come back. Ever. Never. Sin will never be brought up ever again. The sins that you just want to get away from, the sins that you can't get out of your mind, the sins that they will never be brought up again.
Yes.
Pure, sanctified. God Almighty is going to look at His people because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to say, holy, without blame. Don't you ever, ever even insinuate sin on my people. Who is he that condemneth? Christ that died. No possible way. The blood. Now, this is the story I wanted to read to you. So I'm going to read it to you now, okay? This is precious to me, and I'm going to close with this. I hope you enjoy this. This is taken from a message by Charles Spurgeon. All right, this is just a little snippet taken out of one of his messages. I'm going to tell you some things that I don't know what he's talking about. But this is what he said. He said, during this last week, I have been with Brother Alford. I don't know who Brother Alford is, but one day soon, I believe we will. During this last week, I've been with Brother Alford conducting prayer meetings. Spurgeon would travel around through the week and preach places. And he told one evening a tale which I made him tell every evening afterwards, for I thought it so good. He said, there was a poor man living on Dartmoor who had been employed during the summer in looking after horses and cows and so on that were turned out on the moor. I'm assuming that's a field. He was a perfect heathen and never went to a place of worship, perhaps since he was a child. For him, there was no Sabbath. After a time, he grew very ill. He was over 60 years of age, and having nothing to live upon, he went into the workhouse. I don't know what kind of assisted living place that is. While he was there, it pleased the mysterious spirit to make him uneasy as to his soul. He felt that he must die, and the old man had just enough light to let him see that if he did die, all was wrong with regard to a future state. He had a little grandchild who lived in a neighboring town, Plymouth, I think it was. And he asked leave for his grandchild to come in every day to see him. As he was very ill and near death, that was allowed. She came in and he said to her, read the Bible to me, dear. She complied. And the more she read, the more wretched the old man grew. Read it again, said he. The more she read, the more dark his mind seemed to be with a sense of guilt. It just kept getting worse and worse. At last one day, she came to that passage in the first epistle of John. You know it. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Is that there? He asked. Yes, Grandfather, replied the little girl. That is there. Is that there? Oh, yes, Grandfather, it is there. Then read it again. Read it again. She again read. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My dear, are you sure it is just like that? Yes, Grandfather. Then read it again, dear. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Then, he said, take my finger and put it on that verse. Is it on that text, child? Is my finger on that blessed text? Yes, grandfather. Then, said he, tell them, alluding to his friends, that I die in the faith of that. And he closed his eyes and doubtless entered into an eternal rest. Spurgeon said, and I will die in the faith of that truth by the grace of God. And so will you, I trust, brethren and sisters, die with your finger on that text. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy enduring forever. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kevin. Thank you. It's been our privilege.